You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPN.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 20th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and we appreciate you being with us on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. Tons to get to on the show this afternoon. Two wonderful guests, more great topics in store, and man, we just keep getting closer to the start of football season. How you doing over there, Christian Griffin? Happy Wednesday to you, my friend.
Happy Wednesday. You say it's a beautiful day. About 2 hours ago, or not even, you would completely say otherwise, but the clock just got messed up. It rained at 12 instead of 2.
I don't know. There's no windows in my office, so I really don't know what's been going on today, to be honest with you.
Looking at the unnamed weather app, it just said partly cloudy, but it was everything but partly cloudy there for just a little bit. And obviously there's no humidity out in your office either, because out there it feels like there is just about every single piece of it that is in the Auburn Opelika area. But no, a fantastic show we have on tap for you again here today. We're talking the College Football Playoff Committee, as they're actually going back and choosing to use computers again. So
hallelujah.
Yay, we went from computers to complainers to stupidity, now back to computers. And you feel like that's the way that it's going to continue to go. But we're going to talk about some of the new rulings, some of the new ways that you're going to get rankings for this college football playoff this year. Also, some high praise for a couple big-time guys that work on the college football side of things in terms of Auburn, saying get your jokes out now, because when the season comes, you better watch out for the Auburn Tigers. Also going to talk with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7, talk to him about the quarterbacks, talk to him about a lot of Bulldogs making the preseason coaches all SEC team, and a couple injuries in there as well that the Bulldogs hope will not truly affect the way that their season goes. And then some changes along the high school football side of things, as Lee Scott makes a change on the high school side, something that we can't joke about on the show anymore. And if yeah. if you've been listening, you've probably can figure it out. But we're going to talk about that all before hour number two. We're talking about a couple starting quarterbacks that have been named around the SEC and college football. But most importantly, we have confirmed that our man Daryl Dapperich, Double D, is back with us here in hour number two from 3:15 to 3:45. So definitely, you want to be here for all 2 hours, but really, really excited to kick off a really good show.
Yeah, we got a lot for you, and we want you to be a part of it as much as possible. Phone lines are open pretty much the first 30 minutes of the show, kind of a middle 30 minutes as well, before and after and in between our wonderful guest here this afternoon. So give us a call. What's on your mind on this Wednesday? 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You could call in and comment on what we're talking about or question or anything like that. Or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we begin today's show with a headline that came out early this morning, one that I saw when I woke up, actually. And it says,
is that 10:30, 11?
Yeah. Not right now. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee to use enhanced metrics. That's the headline. You're like, okay. You're like, what does that mean, you ask? Well, you start reading through this, and they're actually going to use stats and information and logic in the college football playoff rankings rather than it just being a group of people behind closed doors and truly making it a beauty contest. They're actually going to use statistics to make their college football playoff rankings. Now, to what extent will that happen? We don't know, because again, there won't be any sort of accountability or anything like that, because that would make too much sense. But this is at least moving in the right direction, right? They're going to use some of these numbers, strength of schedule, strength of record, stuff like that. They're supposed to start using those things in their college football playoff rankings.
You said you're going in the right direction. You're essentially going back to what everything was before everybody complained about it only being computers, about there being no eye test, about there not being that beauty contest that you're talking about. And so instead they went strictly to people, and now you feel like you're beginning to work your way back. The biggest thing about, well, there's two really big things about this that that made me laugh. First one, show-wise, it says that it will announce its first of six rankings now. There's not just three or four, there are six rankings using enhanced metrics starting on November 4th. And it's almost like this show has said multiple times, and I'm a believer, and I think I've gotten you in the boat for it as well, of why have preseason rankings? Make the first true top 25 the first week of the college football playoff voting. Or I said early November, and now they move it up 2 weeks to where now you get it on November 4th. And so you're going to see the trends. You're going to see the way that things truly work. The second thing is it says that it's adding a new metric of record strength that will help the committee. They're not taking this, and this is not something where it's going to be plugged into a computer and it spits out teams 1 through 12. This is essentially going to be an aid. We think and hope that the people behind the closed doors will look at and say, okay, yeah, this team went 10-2, but yeah, maybe the team that went 9-3 actually does deserve a little bit more respect. Maybe they deserve, because of the teams that they beat and the quality of losses that they got and where they were scheduled and sprinkled throughout their schedule, maybe they should get a little bit more respect rather than it being, yeah, but look who they beat in week one. They beat New Mexico, Idaho Penitentiary, and so that looks like a pretty good win in my book.
I mean, aren't these things that were supposed to be happening from the start anyway? Like, that's kind of what I look at, is like, these things should have already been taken into consideration. And with all of this, you know, national championship claiming talk that's been going on the last 48 hours or so, right? This was giving a lot of people, and myself included, giving flashbacks to that BCS era, right? Because 2004 is the one for Auburn in particular that had some drama and had a lot of people fired up back then and have been fired up for a long time. And now even more so with USC getting their national title back and Auburn trying to claim it as well, right? It was the BCS system that Auburn fans felt like they kind of got the shaft on, right? Sure. But you start talking about this playoff and it's like, well, what we've come to realize, and we kind of came to this realization on the show one day, was like, man, the BCS system wasn't really the issue. No. The computers weren't the problem. The computers actually kind of made sense for the most part. There just weren't enough teams involved. There weren't enough teams allowed to be in the formula at the end of whatever number that it spit out, or the teams that it spit out, which at the time was only two.
Yeah, you finally got to the point of, okay, maybe there could be more than two teams that compete for the national championship in the postseason.
Which is why you went to the four-team college football playoff following the 2013 national championship game between Auburn and Florida State. Problem was, we went from a two-team computer system to a four-team human system. We changed two variables at one time. And not that I'm the biggest scientific person. I promise you, science and math are not my strong suits. That's why I'm a journalism major. But I'm pretty sure when you are having an experiment in the lab and you're trying to figure new things out, you're not supposed to change multiple variables at one time. You're supposed to change one
and
write the results.
That's your test subject.
And you compare it to the previous experiment with a different change variable. But you start changing multiple things and it's going to skew your results, which I think is what has happened here with the college football playoff. And so now, with this announcement today, that they are going to start implementing more computers, more numbers, more stats into their rankings, this is what was supposed to happen all along. So good. I'm not going to applaud them for it, but good. This was supposed to happen. This should happen. This just makes sense to me.
It does. And the fact that it, even if you had, after the decade of four teams, you could say that it should have happened the first year last year when it went to 12.
Sure.
Rather than it truly being that guinea pig year of, you know what, here, we're going to set these soft variables right here, and we're going to see how everything plays out. Because ain't no way that something goes wrong. Ain't no way that something goes where we have to turn past page four of our booklets because these other options may have been the case. Oh, well, SMU Clemson. Or a perfect scenario of the ACC champion who was not in the playoff now getting that automatic bid. Then the conversation of, does SMU still belong? Does Alabama work their way in? Well, there's no way we can take SMU out because then that would diminish any sort of value in the conference championship game.
Rather than when these situations come up, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, it happened. Oh, no. What do we do?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, how about have a plan for that?
And so you would think that that would have been a little bit more of the case when you move to 12. But again, with that guinea pig year, now we can have, I guess, one solidified year of 12 before we go to 16 or 18 or 32 or 64 or 78. And it looks like March Madness. At that time, you would still be playing football in March. It would be March Madness.
God,
if you move to what
literally
the Big Ten is wanting to do right now. We got to talk with the College Football Playoff Executive Director, Rich Clark, in Atlanta. And it was one of the more impressive interviews, in my opinion, that we were able to have, just because it really did bring clarity to a lot of the things and a lot of the reasons of why they go about everything. He made a statement regarding this and says, quote, all of these modifications will help the selection committee as they rank the top 25 teams. We feel these changes will help construct a postseason bracket that best recognizes or that recognizes the best performances in teams on the field during the regular season. And with that, I want to thank our veteran selection committee members and data analytics groups for helping implement these changes. And so the committee members will convene on Mondays and Tuesdays, revealing their rankings on ESPN each week. The first on the 4th of November, which we mentioned, the second on November 11th, November 18th, and the final one, or sorry, the fourth one rather, on November 25th, the fifth one on December 2nd.
Which I'm a fan of. I mean, if we're going to base the end of the season on the college football playoff rankings, those are the ones that need to happen more often than the AP poll or the coaches poll.
Correct. Like, because once you get to that point, the other two
don't matter
at all, further pleading our case of let
right.
those be the only one that matters.
I know you're saying wait for a true ranking to come out maybe the 1st of November. I'm okay 1st of October.
I wouldn't mind if they bumped it up a whole month, but that was just the one that you can have the AP poll, you can have the coaches, you can have the New Zealand architect, whatever, for
right,
whatever
it doesn't,
I care.
They don't matter.
But
they literally don't matter.
Have it to where the only one that matters comes, sure, conference play, or comes in October, and that's the one to where you can actually sit there, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do it, because you're going to get 5 weeks right now and you're going to be able to see the changes. But man, have it where you start in October, where you're playing those four straight hell conference games, and you can see the way that everything works, just so that way it's not just five systems of, okay, I think that's how that worked because of this win and this loss, but this team was able to jump this team. Although they lost, they played a better opponent and everything like that.
But the problem is we've tried to do that over the past decade, trying to figure out what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do. And have we ever gotten it fully right in terms of what teams deserve to be in, should be in, who's better than this team? Like, has there ever been a year whether it was the 4-team or last year with the 12-team, where we looked at it and said, yeah, I think that's right. I think that's what we predicted. I think that makes sense. I don't remember many seasons like that because we try to predict what they're going to do, and behind closed doors, they just get to do whatever the heck they want.
I would say that there's been a couple of the ones where it's like, okay, these four are leaps and bounds above that fifth and sixth team of the first and second team out. But
look at the chaos of last year.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's what you look at the chaos of last year. You look at the chaos before the 12 team with Florida State being left out. That was one of the first true times that you saw, okay, maybe there is a fifth, maybe even a sixth team that deserves a legitimate shot in this conversation. But there was never any clarity on, okay, if Florida State did this versus this, if Jordan Travis didn't get hurt and they see their way into the playoffs, then what happens? Then there's just five teams and there truly is that fifth spot. What happens then? Now you work your way to 12 and it's, oh, okay, well, no way that the 13th and 14th team are going to be frustrated whatsoever, right? I mean, you could ask Lane Kiffin and Shane Beamer. I'm sure they were perfectly happy with how everything ended last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they acted surprised, they being the College Football Playoff Committee, they acted surprised when they added more teams to the equation and it got more complicated. Remember growing up and doing math problems and you were like, all right, cool, 2 times 10, got it. Even long division, got it. Then you threw the freaking alphabet in there, and it was like, whoa, all right, this has got a whole lot more difficult.
Why is that number 3 so much smaller outside the parentheses? Oh, that's cubed.
Yeah, yeah, why is it smaller up top, and why is there an A next to this one, and you're telling me I have to solve for that? What?
Why is the Vans logo in my math equation?
Exactly. You add more variables, it gets more complicated. That's what happened with the College Football Playoff. You added 12 teams into the mix, and it gets more complicated, which really means you're adding 24 to 25 teams because all of them feel that they have an opportunity to make it. It got more difficult. So thankfully, finally, they decided, you know, maybe we're not the geniuses we think we are. Maybe we should refer to the computers and the metrics. And reading back through this after reading it initially this morning, right, this article written by Heather Dinich, and I'm not picking on her, I'm picking on the playoff committee themselves. It says that they are going to use enhanced metrics to help evaluate schedule strength and how teams perform against their slate. Goes on to say, because I read that and I'm like, wait a minute. In the current schedule strength metric, more weight will now be applied to games against strong opponents. A new added metric of, quote, record strength will help the committee determine how teams performed against their schedule. Oh, you mean SOR? You mean strength of record? A thing that's been around forever? Not just strength of schedule, but the strength of your record, because 8-4 is not created equal across college football. You're telling me that the College Football Playoff Committee just discovered strength of record? And they were like, oh, that's a pretty cool stat. Maybe we should use that. Maybe 8-4 in the Pac-12, whatever it's going to be, isn't the same as 8-4 in the SEC, or I guess 9-3 is probably a better example, sure, since that's a team that could make an argument for the playoff. You're telling me that these buffoons just found the strength of record?
It's almost like they looked at college baseball with the RPI and were like, that's actually kind of cool. It's taken not only the teams that you've beaten, but it's also taken those teams that you beat and the teams that they've beaten and lost to and come up with some sort of number, and that makes it where that win, that sweep that Auburn had over LSU actually is pretty good. And that's, you know, we should credit Auburn because of that sweep, because look who LSU has beaten along the way. That's essentially what RPI is in college baseball. They sat there and said, huh, we should try and come up with something for that for college football, and then started doing some research, RPI college football. Oh, there's already 3 letters that describe exactly what we're trying to do.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's more to this, and I want to talk more about this when we come back. I'm going to propose this question to you, because then there's something at the bottom of this article that is just baffling to me. But
that shoe ad is pretty...
Yeah. Do you feel that them now using more stats, more computer, strength of record, things like that, the College Football Playoff Committee, are you worried that they will become too reliant on it, like they do in the RPI for college baseball at times, like we see? Are you worried that they become too reliant on that? And are you worried that the playoff committee is using that to cover their own behinds? We talk about that coming up next. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. We continue talking about this as we're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, talking about some changes that the College Football Playoff Committee announced today, that they're doing this crazy thing. Wild, really. I mean, it was really bold of them to do this, and I know it took a lot of courage, and I'm sure they, you know, they talked about it, and they you know, pondered over
doors,
it, and course, with their families, and, you know, they probably really were nervous to release this news today, but I'm proud of them for doing it. They're going to use stats to make their College Football Playoff rankings. How crazy is that, right?
Wow.
And the big one being strength of record, basically, is what you need to know. They're going to start looking at strength of record along with strength of schedule, because 9-3 is not equal across the board, right? And so I proposed a question to you, Christian. Are you worried that the College Football Playoff Committee could become too reliant on the strength of record number, right? Could they weigh it too heavily, like we see with the RPI in college baseball? I think most people agree most of the time the RPI is used too heavily at times.
There's also more games. I could push back on that, but I see where you're going.
That's fair. But in general, for
sure,
at least for college football,
yeah,
are you worried about the committee being too reliant on the strength of record number? And also, do you think that they're doing this to cover their own behinds? To have rather than having to come out and try and defend their rankings, or putting their commissioner on ESPN to get softball questions after the rankings come out?
It's just the, well, if you look over my right shoulder,
well,
you see
look
the,
at this,
the graphic
you know,
that we used that showed what the...
Because there's a fine line of using the ranking and using stats and using numbers, but not using them all together, because eye test, shocker from coming from me, eye test is a big part of this too.
Sure, yeah. I think, yeah, using it to beautifully lift your reasonings, and that was crazy. I got a text, and my response to that in mentally was beautiful, and used beautiful on while actually speaking.
You're as confused as I am, folks.
Wild
ride right
very,
there.
Very, very
anyway.
Much so. Using these metrics to, we'll go with it, to beautifully lift the way that you decide to go about your rankings can definitely help. And I see where you're saying about it. I would hope that the way that they use this strength of record is public, right? And you can go through, and when you're describing or when you're seeing these teams be put into these rankings, that shows along the lines of where they're placed. I hope that it's not something of, well, can you release what, you know, what the strength of record, what this computer is doing, and, you know, that, oh, we don't really want to say that, because then it makes it unfair, because then somebody else could make their own rankings and see that things should be a little bit different, and the 11th ranked team is actually the 13th ranked team, and things like that. I would hope, and if that's the case, I would say no, just because I think that the committee is too powerful and has too big of an ego to say that they weren't the ones to make the decision and they allowed computers to take over. But if it gets to that point where they don't have to come out and defend anything, then it very easily, yes, could get to the point of, yeah, well, see, this is the reason that Michigan, although they went 9-3, got in as the 11th ranked team in the country. And if you just look over my right shoulder, the computers that you asked for are showing this right here. And so I'm going to sit back and tell you, which one do you want? Because you asked for this, now you're asking for this.
Yeah, and I don't want this to sound like, at least coming from me, that were playing both sides or that were demanding both sides to be true or both aspects of this, me being and saying like, yes, we want humans to be a part of this and we want you to have a say, but we also want you to use computers, but don't rely on them too much, right? But honestly, we should demand perfection. Like, that's what we're asking.
Yeah.
This should be perfect. You should be perfect. You should have a perfect balance of people's opinions, statistics to back it up, eye test, numbers, rankings, all these different things, because we're talking about something so huge here. This is not the local park championship on Thursday night. This is the college football playoff, and so, yeah, I am kind of demanding it right down the middle and to be perfect. Sorry.
It may be an unanswerable question. I know the music's about to kick us out of here, but if there's two teams, 12 and 13, the people think it should be the 13th ranked team, but the computer has it to where the 13th ranked team should actually be the 12th ranked team. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're fighting for that last spot. Who wins?
That's where the committee comes in.
That's where it's the people. That's where
judgment
calls. That's where the eye test
correct
could defeat the strength of record if they're close enough for a comparison.
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's a perfect checks and balance. I think that's what it's supposed to be. We'll talk more about this as the show goes on and talk to a guy that this team normally doesn't worry about being left out of the playoff. We talk to Georgia Bulldogs with Jordan Hill coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday afternoon. And it's Wednesday at 2:30, which means we get to the phone lines and we welcome in our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with boots on the ground in Athens. My man, we are a day closer to college football starting for week one, but we got games going on this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait. It'll be nice to kind of get the fan perspective, at least for one Saturday. But that'll just get us a taste of what's to come next week. So looking forward to it and happy to catch up with you guys.
Well, there was another scrimmage for Georgia since the last time you hopped on the show with us. And you got to remind me, because I can't keep up with what access you guys do or don't get because of Kirby Smart and the way that he runs a tight ship over there. Were you guys able to be at this scrimmage, or was it more of just getting notes afterwards?
Yeah, just finding out, talking to some folks after the fact.
Okay.
We don't get quite the access that you guys get in Auburn, but we did a lot of talking afterwards to figure out what we could learn about the second and final scrimmage fall camp.
What did you learn about Gunnar Stockton other than the mustache that has apparently taken the headlines? And have you gotten a good look? And how do we rate that mustache for Gunnar Stockton?
I would say his decision-making, other than the mustache, is pretty good right now. The mustache, that kind of leaves some question for me. But, a little serious, in that second scrimmage, sounds like Gunnar Stockton did what was asked of him. And I think that, you know, they let him play a little bit in that scrimmage and then turned it over to some of the backups. We actually heard a lot about a true freshman, Ryan Montgomery, who, this time next year will probably be battling for that starting job. And yeah, Gunnar did a really good job in that scrimmage. The talk out of that scrimmage from the folks I talked to was the running game, and they got several different backs involved. Nate Frazier, Illinois transfer Josh McCray, sophomore Dwight Phillips Jr. had a big touchdown. They even had Dylan Bell, the receiver, score on an end around. So I think the run game's in a good position right now, and I think based on just the issues Georgia had there this past season, and the amount of time and, you know, energy they have dedicated to the run game, it's really been on both sides of the ball. Running the ball, stopping the run, that has been a rallying cry for Georgia. Just based on that scrimmage, I think Georgia should feel really good about where it is at this point in the year, knowing that they still got about a week and a half before they can go prove it out on the field.
Jordan, a little off topic than the questions that we have scheduled, but you mentioned the Illinois transfer, Josh McCray. We've had a lot of conversations on this show about how long you should say the transfer from this school. Where do you sit in that boat of, is it where conference play gets started? Is it just the first couple of games, or as soon as they wear their current school's colors, they're now a University of Georgia running back, or they are now an Auburn University running back? When does that kind of gray area sit with you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is a couple games into conference play. That's sort of when you kind of get a sense of who this guy is, what he's able to do. And you know, I think something that'll help a guy like Josh McCray when it comes to Georgia is the fact that they play Marshall and they play Austin Peay in these first 2 weeks. So to see, you know, if he's able to pop right away, a lot of people who are watching him are going to forget he ever was at Illinois, sure, whether that's fair or not. But no, I think, you know, it's something that you kind of just have to get used to in today's college football. I understand people are frustrated by the amount of player movement, but that's just sort of the nature of the beast right now. And it is good for the players to get opportunities and try to take advantage of them. So, yeah, it is kind of strange at times seeing, you know, guys in different uniforms. I mean, when Georgia plays Auburn, they'll see Eric Singleton, and, you know, he's a guy that they saw at Georgia Tech the last 2 years. So it's just sort of the nature of how things are. But I think once you kind of get into a couple conference games, you see what the guy's about, and you know, before long you think about him, picture him kind of with the team he's playing with right now.
As we get closer to the start of the season, literally a week and a half away from Georgia starting their 2025 campaign, and we've heard so much about it here in Auburn, about the defense being ahead of the offense, and that's how it normally starts throughout fall camp. What have you seen since the last time we talked to you, or I guess maybe even heard since the last time we talked to you, about who is in the lead? Is the offense starting to make more progress, whether it is that run game or whatever? Where does that stand right now compared the defense and the offense for Georgia?
Yeah, Jacob, you were assuming a lot by seeing C, because I tried yeah, climbing a tree over there by Buttsmere where they practice, and I had somebody shoo me away from there, so I wasn't able to get the binoculars out. But no, I honestly think right now the offense is ahead of the defense, and I know,
okay,
I think a Georgia fan may hear that and that might concern them, but I really think that's a credit to what they've done, the pieces they've added on offense. We mentioned McCray a few minutes ago. Noah Thomas, I think one of the MVPs of fall camp, the Texas A&M transfer, he has been phenomenal. Zachariah Branch, the USC transfer, I think he has added to what was a really good spring. And you talk about some of the guys that are back, Nate Frazier, Dylan Bell, Lennon Humphreys, Oscar Delp, Lawson Lucky. I think that they understand they got a lot of weapons that they have surrounded Gunnar Stockton with. And you know, a lot of the conversation this time of year when I pop on, do radio hits, is about Gunnar Stockton. Do you believe in him? Can he get the job done? I think he can, in large part because of the talent around him. I think he's going to find himself, one, not feeling like he's got to press because he's got guys he can rely on. But two, the job as a quarterback just gets so much easier when you have this amount of talent spread throughout. There's not just one guy that Gunnar Stockton has to look to and say, well, this is 4th and 3. This ball has got to go to Zachariah Branch. I don't think that's the case. You got Colby Young. You got the guys I mentioned a minute ago. You got other up-and-coming guys like Kobe White Helton. So I think the offense is ahead of the defense. I know the defense did not tackle the way Kirby wanted them to in that second scrimmage. But we talked about this today on our podcast. The standard for what is an acceptable amount and tackle rate for Kirby Smart is very, very high. I think the defense is still in fine shape. But I think there's a lot to be excited about with this offense this year.
It's funny you say that you feel like the offense is ahead of the defense, because that was my question for you at the next bullet point, is there are 14 Georgia Bulldogs that make the preseason coaches all SEC teams, and many of those guys are on the defensive side of the football. So what kind of confidence does that give just for the overall defense, and maybe some names that the general public doesn't know about that you feel like they will come conference play or come that October 11th date that Auburn needs to know about?
I think more than anything, having that many guys on defense in those all-SEC teams just kind of shows you that there's a standard at Georgia on defense, and that these are looked at as the next guys. These are the guys they're counting on to, you know, maintain that. I mean, we're looking through some numbers last year. Georgia gave up something like 20.1 points per game on defense last year, and that is a far cry from what we've seen in previous years. Now, know a whole lot of coaches would kill to have a defense only giving up three touchdowns, but less than three touchdowns a game. But when you look at this defense, the guys I'm looking at, if they are going to play up to, you know, the high bar that Georgia set in the last few years, starting up front, I look at a guy like Christian Miller. Jordan Hall is probably your nose tackle. Needing production at defensive end, I think Gabe Harris has a really good chance, both there at defensive end and also probably standing up some at the edge. And then inside linebacker, Raylan Wilson is going to be a starter as a junior. I was really impressed by the way he ended his sophomore year. I expect him to be very productive. And then they got two inside linebackers that will not be starting, more than likely, Chris Cole and Justin Williams. Those guys were five stars. They have had a fantastic second year in the program. Be watching them as well. And the other position I would point to right now as far as guys we have to pay attention to would be cornerback. Daylon Everett is established at this point. A lot of people see him as the most likely first-round pick off of this team. But it's the other corner spot where there's been quite a battle. Daniel Harris, who's getting ready for his junior year, he was a starter toward the end of last year. And Ellis Robinson, a five-star who, man, if I had a dollar for every time someone's asked me about Ellis Robinson on our message board, I'd be sitting pretty right now because people really want to see him get in the mix. He had a really good second scrimmage. He's been coming on strong. I think there's going to be a decent amount of rotation at corner, while I still think Daylon and Daniel will be the starters. Daniel Harris and Ellis Robinson are two guys to pay attention to at corner once Georgia gets into the season.
We're talking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. Seems like throughout spring and even through the summer and up to SEC Media Days, Jordan, everybody just kind of assumes that Georgia's going to be a good football team because it's Kirby Smart and the athletes that they have. And, you know, ain't no way that they would just miss the college football playoff. But seems here as of the last couple of weeks, there have been some outspoken people in the media or fans or what have it that are going against Georgia and saying maybe they won't be as good as people think they are. Do you think there's any validity to that? And if so, what would cause Georgia to maybe underperform this year?
I think the big question is Gunnar Stockton, especially coming off of what a lot of people would say was a disappointing year on the whole for an offense. And the fact that Carson Beck struggled like he did, through 12 interceptions. I think that led the SEC. So I see it on that front, especially, too, when you factor in this offensive line that lost four starters from last year. But I think, to me, the thing that gives me confidence that they will be a playoff contender is having seen and heard behind the scenes what people think of this offense. You know, I think it's very easy to look at specifically the wide receiver room and how they played last year and think, man, very disappointing, you know, and that maybe they probably won't be quite as bad, but they'll be a little bit better. I think that they will be significantly better at wide receiver this year compared to last. So I understand the questions. It's always such a crapshoot when you're talking about a first-time starter at quarterback. It's always hard to kind of, when you're trying to rank these SEC teams now, especially now that there's 16 of them, you know, when you're working with a guy who's only got one start under his belt, you might be a little more remiss to say, okay, this is definitely a playoff team. This is definitely a championship contender. But just knowing what I know about the program and the excitement about the offense, the pieces around Gunner, and again, that's not to shortchange Gunner because I think he can make plays, but I think they've put him in position to make plays and to be able to guide this offense. And to me, that's enough to think this will be a playoff team.
We talked about the 14 Bulldogs that made the preseason coaches all SEC teams. We talked about the defense. We've talked about the offense. The special teams is something that you feel like didn't have too many question marks. But Brett Thorson, again, the Aussie punter on that list of the preseason coaches all SEC guys, apparently had a little bit of an injury that Kirby said could keep him out of the early part of that year. Do you have any knowledge on the severity of that injury and how would that affect the special teams for Georgia moving forward?
Yes, the biggest question when it comes to special teams entering the year, he hurt his knee in the SEC title game last year trying to make a tackle on a punt return and got hurt, so missed the rest of that game, did not play in the Sugar Bowl. And yeah, they've kind of been looking at that first game, the Marshall game, and maybe the first period in which he'd really be fully back. Still don't know if that's going to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia kind of takes it slow with fact that it's Marshall and then it's Austin Peay to start the season. Kirby did say that Brett Thorson has gone back to punting You know, he was able to punt in practice. Said he punted during the scrimmage on Saturday, but he was not. He was kind of punting to the side. He was not punting live during that scrimmage. The good news for Georgia, you know, you don't really think about punter being a position where you need depth, but Georgia's got it because they signed in the 2024 class the number one punter in the country, Drew Miller, and he punted in that Sugar Bowl after Brett Thorson got hurt. So I'm not really holding out hope that Brett will play in that first game, but I think that's more of a product of precaution. One, trying to get him healthy before you get into some really the competitive games. Think about week three at Tennessee. But two, you got a talented guy in Drew Miller. Let him get some reps. Let him play as Brett gets closer to 100%.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us every Wednesday here on ESPN 106.7 on the line. Always appreciate you and your time, your wonderful coverage of the Georgia Bulldogs. And not that this impacts you or what's going to happen maybe on this in this game for Auburn versus Georgia, but I'm sure you saw that the Tigers will be honoring and retiring Cam Newton's jersey before the Georgia game inside Jordan-Hare just to add a little bit more spice to that game in October.
Yeah, I like the strategy. You know, you at least give Auburn fans something to be excited about that night. I don't know where Auburn will be as a team at that point, but, you know, I think that alone just adds fuel to what I think will be a really exciting game. Talk about a night game, Deep South's oldest rivalry. Can't remember the last time they played at night. It's been a few years. So I understand the strategy. Now, will they all be smiling when that game's over with? Not so sure, but it'll be a fun night in Jordan-Hare. I know that for sure.
Well, between now and then, for all your wonderful coverage of the Georgia Bulldogs, for any Auburn fans that would like to go check it out, tell them where they can find it.
Definitely dogs247.com and on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill and at dogs247. We still got a 50% off sale, so get in there before the start of the season. We're going to have football before too long, men's basketball get going, and it's going to be an exciting fall, and I hope folks will follow along our coverage there over on the Junkyard and all the Georgia fans and Yep. Season's almost here, and we hope everybody gets ready for it.
Well, man, we appreciate you always taking time to talk to us here in Auburn. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday where we finally get to preview week one.
Can't wait. Appreciate you guys.
Jordan Hill, Dogs247. Check it out at dogs247.com. For any Georgia updates that you need, Jordan is the man to give it to you. All right, we'll take our final break here in hour number one, come back, give you a quick high school football update, and then we get to hour number two where we talk about some starting quarterbacks that have been named around the country, and then Double D Wednesday with Daryl Dapper. That's all here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jordan Hill for hopping on, talking to us a little Georgia football. I keep forgetting, just because the last several years, Georgia in the first couple of weeks of the season has always had a big opponent. Not all the time, but at least in recent memory, they've had some bigger openers or games in the first couple of weeks, but not this year. They have two of their non-conference cupcake games that they're going to beat by 70, and then they'll worry about SEC play later on. So
that's usually back in the SEC East what they would do.
I'm telling you, man. Open up with Kentucky or some joke like that to where it's like, well, they're 1-0 in the SEC. So, sounds like, according to Jordan, how about that? The offense ahead of the defense in Athens. When's the last time you could say that?
Is that not how we feel?
I don't know. I'll leave that up to our listeners to decide. I mean, if you look at it, though, from the Georgia perspective, it's like if the offense is ahead of the defense, you feel pretty confident that the defense will come around in Athens, and maybe they are going to be a good football team.
Yeah. It is really weird, though, because usually it's the offense is always just you use the words good enough with everybody. By no means do I say good enough for Georgia's offense as the stereotypical good enough, but in comparison to the defense, it was always just good enough to hold their own. The running back room was great, mm-hmm. and the offensive line was great, and that was how they dominated football games. But yeah, it's weird to see this Georgia team could lean more towards the passing game if they need to some games with Zach Branch and Noah Thomas and then the defense right there. I mean, when's the last time, again, other than Alabama, that Georgia was having to go out and win barn burners?
Yeah. Like, it's something. Which is why there's so much pressure on Gunnar Stockton and why there's so much stock Would you say there's a stock ton or a ton of stock in Gunner?
Not anymore.
but for real, that's why there is so much riding on whether he's going to be good or not, because this is several weeks in a row that Jordan has told us about the run game issues. And
yeah.
Now that the offense is supposedly better than the defense, or at least right now, yeah, I mean, it really does come down to that starting quarterback there in Athens.
Well, while we do have just a minute or two before the music kicks us out of here for hour number one, we've been making a couple jokes on here over the past couple of weeks about the week one games for, I guess, week two games for high school, week one for Auburn University, because as soon as Auburn's game got moved to Friday, Auburn High School's game got moved to Thursday against Vestavia Hills on the road. And we made the jokes the entire time about, oh, it's so fun, I'll be able to watch it up from the press box over at Lee Scott Academy. But there has been news, mm-hmm. and Lee Scott has now changed their game against Lochapoca from the 29th to the 28th as well. And so week two just starts a little bit earlier for everybody now. Lee Scott Academy and Lochapoca over on AU 100.3 FM, Auburn High School and Vestavia Hills on Wings 94.3. And so that means Auburn University is solo
yep.
on Friday night. And so I know everybody's so upset about it, but you're going to have to just choose Lee Scott Academy over Auburn High School rather than just Auburn University football.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
true. Well, that should have been, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It is.
I mean, especially playing Lochapoca, too. I mean, two local teams here around Auburn, like, that just, it makes sense. I'm glad Auburn High's doing it. At least you guys are at home that game.
Yeah.
We're going to Vestavia on that.
Yeah, so now
night,
I'm so. Back on the top side of the joke, baby. Let's
yeah,
go.
Well, you're going to be doing the show solo with me on the phone driving to Birmingham
Fair.
That night, so just be ready for that. But
we
we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
We need to figure it out, and I mean, I guess we could do a little bit of research on it, but see how many teams in Texas. See if there's any teams in Waco that are moving their games.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a Thursday night.
They'd be stupid not to, honestly. It would be a smart decision. So, yes, Lee Scott in now, Auburn High, or I guess Auburn High in now, Lee Scott. We'll be playing on Thursday night. That's next week, though. This week is still Friday to kick off the season, so don't get that confused. But we're out of time in hour number one, but stick around. More coming up in hour number two, starting quarterbacks around college football. And Double D, Daryl Dapprich. He says he's fired up today, and I think I believe him. Stick around. All that coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of our number one, we had a lot of fun, man. We talked about some Georgia football with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. We also got to rip the college football playoff committee, as we seems like we do on a weekly basis. And football season's still not technically here until this Saturday, so that's exciting. So they're taking some more analytics into consideration when they make their rankings. How nice of them to do that. So we talked about that in hour one, and then as I mentioned, we covered Georgia football from fall camp, thanks to our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, who joined us on the phone lines as he does every single Wednesday. So if you missed any of that in the first hour, you can always go back and check out the podcast version of the show on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, 2. We're going to talk starting quarterbacks around college football as more and more guys continue to be named as, again, around the SEC, around just college football in general, the guys are starting to emerge and get that QB1 tag. So we're going to be able to dive into a lot of those names here for just a little bit. Again, a shorter segment to start hour number 2 because on Wednesdays from 3:15 to 3:45, we get Daryl Daprich, our man Double D, on the phone lines. And yeah, he sent us the text today saying, "Let me rant." And we said,
okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going to get him on the phone lines. And we said, you know what? Let's do that in the first segment and just let you get everything out. And I'm sure that everybody or a majority of people have the same emotions regarding the way that the social media world has taken on Auburn over the past couple of days, most recently because of the national championships. But he's pretty fired up about a topic like that. I've seen it on social media, and now we're going to be able to hear what he has to say. But all of that's coming up here in the second hour. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin, and we appreciate everybody for being here with us today.
And just want to remind you, coming up in just a couple of days, this Friday, August 22nd, ESPN 106.7 will be broadcasting live at Winter Timber Outdoors here in Auburn. Come on by, check it out, the brand new hunting and outdoor store. As On the Line, our show, and The Drive will be live on location from 2 to 6 p.m. this coming Friday as Winter Timber Outdoors prepares for their grand opening this weekend. We'll be talking week 0 of the college football season along with opening weekend of high school football and so much more. There will be over $40,000 in giveaways this weekend at Winter Timber, plus special guest appearances. So come on out, join us this Friday, August 22nd, as ESPN 106.7 broadcast live on location at Winter Timber Outdoors. It's up there next to the neighborhood Walmart across from the mall, so be sure go and check it out if you need guns and knives and apparel and coolers and deer stands and shoes. They've got all kinds of stuff up there. They've done a really good job. And so, again, we'll be out there from 2 to 6 for On the Line and The Drive this Friday at Winter Timber Outdoors.
Even if you don't need anything, just go buy the guys on the radio station something. They're going to be inside, and so just do the nice thing.
I'd hate for you to buy me a Yeti or something.
Yeah, just do the nice thing and throw your name into the raffle, and we'll even do something nice and work your way and try.
I'll shout you out, yeah.
We'll shout you out. We'll try and triple your name in the raffle.
I can't guarantee it, but I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
You buy us something, and we'll say that we'll try to make you win the raffle.
Yeah.
Boom. I think that's allowed, right? I think.
Sure. We'll see. I'll
we're not
I'll
tampering. Brody. It's just, this isn't a dead period, so we're allowed to offer our NIL deals.
It's not my fault if it falls through or not.
No.
We'll promise on
it's
the
not
front
an,
end.
It's, as long as we're not in contract.
Yeah, we're good. As long as there's no pen to paper, I'll promise you whatever I need to get you in the door. That's what's going on.
It's the best
here.
Way of going about it. But kicking off hour number 2 here, we're talking college football quarterbacks as a lot of these battles have been settled. The dust has cleared, whether that's in Tuscaloosa, whether that's in Knoxville, or around the entire country. Looks like we're about to get to the phone lines possibly before this conversation, but that is what we will be talking about here for just a few moments.
Yeah, let's get to the phone lines here quickly at 334-321-1390. Shay, you're on the line, my man. What's up?
It's Jay.
Oh, Jay, I'm sorry. Jay, I'm sorry. What's going on, man?
Yep, calling from Stephenville, Texas.
Oh, okay. What's going on?
Let me tell you, man, excited about the game coming up.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it to get here. But I do have some questions for you. Why is all the negative publicity from AL.com, also known as Joseph Goodman.
Oh, there we go. I was about to say, I was going to be able to tell you one name of why it's negative.
Yeah, well, is he the starting quarterback, Jackson Arnold? Is he going to be like Peyton Thorne 2.0, or what's going on? Why are they being so critical of Jackson?
Because negativity draws ratings, my friend. That's how the business works, unfortunately, because hyping him up and talking fun about the quarterback situation doesn't get people to your site or to your radio station or to your TV or whatever the case may be. But if you drag them and knock them down and tell people why it's going to be bad, then you'll get more engagement.
A perfect example of that, if you're on social media, I'm sure everybody has seen, because it's blown up, the video of Jack Snardle not hitting that underneath route and Hugh Freeze spiking the visor. But how many pages have posted about the dot that he threw to Cam Coleman 40 yards down the field?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, it seems like it's been nothing but negativity, and I was just wondering, has he had that bad of a fall camp, you know, or is it just, like you said, made for news?
It's made for news, and then the fact that I think the defense has still dominated the overall fall camp, which, I, to be completely honest, I think is expected, and I don't think that that's a bad thing and necessarily shadowing the offense. I think it's just because there's so many dudes on the defensive side of the football that they're the ones that come out and kind of dominate practice, because it feels like you could name a different name that had a fantastic practice each and every day.
Well, I tell you what, the Auburn fans I know in Texas are excited about this game. We'll probably be in Waco, and I'll be one of them. And I tell you, the excitement's growing, and I'm just ready for football season. Hey, if I could strap it on, I'd probably strap it on and get out there too.
We got to ask you about it too. We were talking about it right before we hit the break. Do you know of the high schools that are moving games to Thursdays in Texas like the teams are in Auburn?
No, I don't. I wish I did. There's so many dominant football programs over here in Texas. I mean, you're talking about Duncanville. You're talking about Longview?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, North Shore. I mean, they've got so many spectacular football programs, and you know, everything's bigger and better out here. I don't know if it's going to be bigger in Buford, but Georgia, but it is. For the most part, they build their stadiums big, and their fields are just immaculate.
I can only imagine.
I mean, it's just like the show Friday Night Lights. I mean, it's like a religion out here. They love their football, and it kind of reminds me of Alabama, growing up in Alabama.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, man.
As far as loving the football part, but the stadiums and Alabama got a ways to go.
No doubt about it. Hey, man, we appreciate your support and appreciate you calling in.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Call all the way from Texas. How about that? I know we got a few folks that listen out there in the big, great state of Texas.
Yeah,
so
we got Texas. Do we get where do we get Washington?
Yeah,
the other
Washington.
Day. We have a couple of Pittsburgh that I know of.
I know a couple of New Yorks. I mean, Ohio, because, you know, my mom's a big fan. So
yeah, I mean,
it counts.
I think James Franklin's an everyday listener.
I'm sure he is. I mean, I support him every day. Every day of my life, I wake up and support James Franklin. I'm actually a donor to Penn State.
Really? Congratulations. Yeah.
I mean, I graduated from there.
Congratulations. Yeah.
It's where my degree is from. It's where my family's from. It's where, I have Penn State gear in my closet. I mean, I
wasn't going to shout the shirt out that you had on, but it looks very Happy Valley.
Yeah, it is very Penn State-y colors, huh? I would say so. I support them no matter what. No way this is Auburn High colors. This is Penn State.
No, it's there's too much Navy. It's a little more Navy.
Yeah, okay.
The shadows are great radio. We're portraying the shirt of sailboats.
Yeah, sailboats.
There's a lot of those in Happy Valley as well. So
yeah, that's
really helping.
You wouldn't know because you're not a Penn State fan, but that's actually what they're known for is their sailboats.
That's why they're so happy.
Yeah, in Happy Valley, because I've never met anybody sad on a sailboat. Not in Happy Valley.
Very, very fair. I guess it is a good point, too. I mean, we're talking about the high schools in Texas. A lot of these teams, and this is not at Auburn High at all, but a lot of these teams in Texas play that national schedule around high school to where it could be a lot more difficult to just move something to Thursday rather than it being Lee Scott and Lochipoca, which are 24 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, and there's so many high schools, too, in Texas. I mean, it would be impossible. I'm sure some of the local Waco high schools have maybe done something about it, but either way, really cool to have some listeners and engagement from the state of Texas. We appreciate you calling in, my man. We got to get to a break because when we come back, it's Double D Wednesday. Darryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn in the Barn, he joins us coming up next. And, folks, I'm just telling you, he's already fired up. He joins us right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Oh, it's so good to have this guy back on our radio show, back on our radio station, and back on the phone lines. He is Double D, Daryl Dapperich for Double D Wednesdays. You hear him on Locked On Auburn. He's a part of the Barn as well. My man, we missed you last week. I hope everything is good in your world.
Man, I missed being on. I love my Wednesday appearances here. Yes, it's good to be back. Looking forward to it all week, really.
What we're getting ready for week zero. Are you a big week zero guy? I mean, are you excited for it? Do you truly feel that college football is back? Or are you just kind of like, eh, there's football, but I'm ready for next week?
Week zero is my blooming onion in relation to my steak.
I always knew you were a blooming
appetizer.
Onion guy.
It kind of gets me going, or spinach and artichoke dip, however you want to say it. But it kind of gets me going as an appetizer. I don't really feel all in until the SEC kicks off.
That's
fair. So, you know, that's just, but I mean, I'll watch it. Of course I'll watch it. I mean, but yeah, I don't feel like the season's really started until week one, till SEC play. When I say SEC, SEC teams play. Yeah.
Well, you can tell that the season hasn't truly started yet because fans are all riled up on social media and on message boards and media people in articles and radio shows and TV and things like that. You can tell right now, Daryl, that people are desperate for true college football games to take place because Auburn just seems to be at the butt end of every single joke or article or any sort of news that's taking place right now, whether it's because of the quarterbacks or whether it's because of Hugh Freeze comments or whether it's because of national championships or whatever the case may be, Auburn just seems to be taking the heat of every single fan base, including its own, over the last couple of weeks. Can I just open this up to you and ask you why in the world this is happening to Auburn right now?
It's an amazing phenomenon. I mean, Auburn is in the crosshairs. Let's be honest. It's been all the way back to right before SEC Media Days with the golf comments, right? The recruiting rankings being so low. Then it becomes, oh, he threw his visor at practice. He's going to have three different coordinators calling plays. Auburn's going to play three different quarterbacks. They have a Heisman Trophy winner that they're retiring his number that they paid $180,000 for. And, oh, by the way, they are claiming all these national championships. So literally, for somebody who's supposed to be irrelevant in the college football world, there's a lot of people running their mouths and concerned. And so I've said this before, and in case your listeners haven't heard it, I'm to the point where Auburn University could cure cancer and people would complain that they left the lab messy. I mean, seriously,
yeah,
there's nothing they could do at this point that it's just constant scrutiny. And I'm going, okay, is there some validity to maybe the way Auburn handles things from a public relations standpoint that could be better in some instances? Is there too much transparency? Is Hugh Freeze answering questions too honestly and giving too much to the media? And I think there may be a shred of truth to that, but I also think it's being overplayed and overplayed by Auburn's own fan base. Look, first of all, the play calling thing, everybody does it. It's just not revealed that way. Get over it. The three quarterbacks thing was a brilliant strategic comment because now you've got Baylor's defensive coordinator preparing for three quarterbacks instead of one.
Exactly.
The national championship thing slays me because I said this on Locked On Auburn, so I'll say it to you. I can't be a revisionist history kind of guy. I mean, I have to be genuine and be who I am. So for years, I have mocked and criticized Alabama for going from six national championships to 11 from one media guide in 1983 to another in 1984. So if I do that and I criticize it, I can't be on board with other schools, including Auburn, do it, or I look like a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to be honest in that. Do I have a problem with them doing it because all these other schools have done it? No, but I'm not like you know, in the corner of it, because it looks hypocritical to turn around and celebrate it when you were criticizing other schools for that. But that should be the exact approach that West Alabama is taking right now, is that you can't get on Auburn for doing that when, again, overnight you claimed five more national championships from 83 to 84, including one from, I believe, a laundromat granted them national championship status. So that's my problem, is the hypocrisy. It's the forgetfulness. It's people that run national publications that pull for Tennessee criticizing Auburn for retiring Cam Newton's number when you were stuffing cash in McDonald's bags to pay your players. It's Georgia fans, closeted Georgia fans, mocking Auburn for doing it when you pull for a school that basically over the last 2 years is, you know, auditioning member after member, actor after actor for Fast and Furious 12 with the way they drive. So that's the thing that gets me the most, is the hypocrisy. So I can't be hypocritical. I refuse to be hypocritical. Am I glad that people are happy about it and putting it up on the scoreboard, putting it up on the side of the stadium? Yes, I'm indifferent about it. I'm indifferent about it because I'm saying, well, you might as well go ahead and claim them if everybody else did it. And you know, but don't mock Auburn for doing it when you did it. And you know what, Auburn fans? Quit getting so worked up about it. Quit getting worked up about things you hear at practice or see at practice and overreacting. And overreacting to fan bases criticizing you. Who cares? Auburn doesn't need to get approval or permission or a stamp of validation from Alabama to do whatever it wants to do with claiming national championships. Quit worrying about what other fan bases think and mock you and laugh. Let them laugh. That's fine. There'll be time to pay the toll. You know, you're Auburn. You don't need permission to do what you want to do or validation from other fan bases, especially other fan bases that have a ton of weeds in their backyard that they have to clean up.
But Darryl, then if the Auburn fans don't overreact, then the Auburn word that everybody throws in their captions won't go trending, and then they won't get any publicity from it. And so why would you not keep doing that? Because everybody's going to keep overreacting.
I don't understand why people don't. I hate revisionist history, and I hate when people forget things conveniently. How many times have you watched a press conference where a coach gets asked if so-and-so is going to play Saturday? Hey, they got nicked up tonight. Oh, they're probable. They're playing. Why do they do that? So that the other coach hears that.
Correct.
And has to prepare for that guy. That's no different than what if anybody thinks that three quarterbacks are playing Saturday night or Friday night in Waco, I don't know that ain't, maybe two. I'm not saying that there may not be a scenario, but I cannot see a scenario where there are scripted plays, packages, possessions for all three quarterbacks. I don't see it, and I think just because you say it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And the overreaction from Auburn fans to this and to their own worst enemy, I mean, you're already going to get crap from other fan bases that really don't have a right to say anything. I mean, Tennessee made three poor hires in a row at head coach, and they're going to jank on Hugh Freeze when you hired Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jeremy Pruitt.
Butch Jones,
really?
Yikes!
Really? And you're going to say something? I mean, that's what kills me, is the forgetfulness of certain fan bases and what they want to say. And Ole Miss, that had Ed Orgeron and Matt Luke back to back, and you're going to want to say something about Auburn?
Man.
I mean, I'm with you. So let me ask you this then, Darryl. I mean, I think I know your answer here, but is the frustration for you more on Auburn fans giving in to opposing fan bases, or because opposing fan bases won't quit coming after Auburn for a team that, let's be real, hasn't been winning football in 5 or 6 years?
I don't care what opposing fan bases do. I expect them to do that, and a lot of times they do it out of fear, because they do realize that maybe Auburn's about to turn the corner, so that's an overcompensation. What other fan bases say, I get it. I guess the only part that bothers me about it is the hypocrisy.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Like when Ole Miss and other fans joke on Auburn over the last couple of years, as opposed to Alabama and Georgia from the on-the-field results. You know, if you've won national championships and SEC titles in the last 5 or 6 years, you got every right to say what you want about Auburn's season. I get it. It's factual. It's true. But when you ain't won the West or won an SEC title since Kennedy was riding in the back of a car in Dallas, then you really don't – then you need to shut up and stay in your lane. I mean, that's the problem, is that people that haven't accomplished anything, great, you've won 10 games a couple years in a row. Yay. Hang a banner. You hadn't won a national title. You hadn't been in an SEC championship game. You hadn't even won an SEC West title when there used to be such a thing. That bothers me when opposing fan bases that haven't done anything run their mouth. But what bothers me worse is when Auburn fans overreact to things because they already have a preconceived notion about Hugh Freeze or what he is or what he does, and they just overreact. Don't worry about something until you have a reason to worry about it. There'll be plenty of time to stress when Auburn's trying to hold on to a 3-point lead with a minute and a half left to go in Norman, or you're getting ready to kick off the Georgia game, or you're getting ready to kick off the Iron Bowl. There's plenty of time to stress and worry about crap that happens during the season. Why manufacture outrage now that is not a big deal? It's not a big deal to say three quarterback or to have somebody throw their visor down because Jackson Arnold holds on to the ball.
How dare he coaches at practice, Daryl?
The Cam Newton thing, the $880,000, okay, whatever. Keep throwing jabs. But your McDonald bags got you 5 wins. Cam Newton got us a national title.
Boom. Drop the hammer. Drop the mic, did Daryl Daprich in segment one of our weekly conversations with him. And while a lot of that has been generated from social media, from other fans and Auburn fans and you know, media people that have nothing better to do, there are real things to talk about and discuss, like position battles, injuries, and who we will see against this Baylor squad and that Baylor squad, too. We talk about all of that and more in segment number two with Daryl Daprich for Double D Wednesdays. He sticks around with us, and so should you right after this.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, which means we have another segment with our man Daryl Daprich from Locked On Auburn and the Barn. And man, we are oh so closer to the start of Auburn football. And unfortunately, you are unable to join us next week because you'll be traveling, because you'll be at the Auburn-Baylor game in person there in Waco, Texas, right?
Yeah, I'll be covering it for Locked On Auburn. I've got a little business to take care of in Texas a couple days ahead of time in the Fort Worth area. And so I'll be going out a little bit earlier, taking care of some business for the job, my regular job, and then staying on through the weekend to cover that game. I'm blessed to do that, being credentialed for Locked On Auburn. And we'll be doing that show. Here it goes. I mean, it's time already for the post-game show that we do, you know, the Sunday morning show that drops, the reaction show that we do. And I've been fortunate. The SID at Baylor has been top notch. I've got a room in the press box to do that with. I think there's some Baylor fans. I'll probably need to have a little bulletproof vest on when I walk through some of the tailgates. We'll see after the Locked On last week. But I'm actually going to appear on a Baylor radio show tailgate pregame kind of thing. It'll be fun. Apparently they're going to feed me well. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to covering that. And seeing what that's all about on a Friday night.
Daryl, have they convinced you yet that Baylor's putting up 49 against Auburn's defense?
No. One of the guys that's actually me, we went back and forth on Twitter, turned out to be a really good guy. He's the one I'll be on his show Friday afternoon. But yeah, there are some delusional Baylor fans. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, book it, you know, bet your mortgage, Auburn's going to win. I feel better about this game as it gets closer to kickoff. I do. I feel Auburn's going to win the football game, but I'm not as confident, like slam dunk, it's going to be blowout. It, you know, just matter of factly, it's just, I feel like Vegas does, and that Auburn wins this game. I think it, you know, could be a 7-point game. I feel that way, guys, and I'm getting more confident about that since we're talking about Baylor because of the reports that I'm hearing about the defense. So we're, again, people wrung their hands over the defense being ahead of the offense in some of these scrimmages. If you're an Auburn fan and you're going on the road playing a prolific offense in Baylor, that's exactly where you want to be right now. Defense travels. You want a salty defense that's really good, and that's what I would want to take into Waco against an offense that's supposedly pretty prolific. Because if Auburn's defense is as good as we think it could be, pass rush, secondary, linebackers emerging, they've got a good shot of holding Baylor in the low 20s, upper teens.
Yeah.
And if that happens, book it. Auburn's winning this game by at least a touchdown, because I think Auburn can put up points on. But Baylor's defense is not as good as Auburn's, regardless of what they'll try to delusionally tell you. Even playing in the watered-down Big 12, Baylor's defense, no matter how many portal guys they got in, Auburn's defense was good last year. Baylor's was abysmal. And the statistics say that, especially points per game. Baylor had a lot further to come to close the gap on Auburn's defense. They were 51 spots behind them in total defense ranked nationally last year. And so Auburn's gotten better defensively. And if both teams get better, if both defenses get better and yours was 50 spots better to begin with, that, you know, I mean, I've got my degree now. The math's not hard. It's, you know, you're still going to be better. So that's why I think Auburn's going to make them one-dimensional. I see some interceptions. I think Sawyer Robinson will have a good game for Baylor from a statistics standpoint, but I also think Auburn will sack him some and get him to turn it over some. And I see Auburn and their receivers pretty much having their way in that secondary. And you want your defense to be what you rely on to start the game, to start the season on the road against a Power Four.
I was going to ask you, Daryl, about that, of where do you think Auburn finds their biggest strength, but I think you answered that with the defensive side of the football. And so I'll ask a question that has two answers, and obviously the main answer is a win is a win, and you won't complain either way, but would you feel more confident looking on the total outlook of what Auburn is playing after Baylor if it's a 17-14 win for Auburn, or if it's a 34-31 win for Auburn, where one of the two sides of the football looks really, really good and there's questions about the other side?
I would rather see Auburn get it a little bit higher scoring, only because I think like teams like Oklahoma may not be a juggernaut on offense. I mean, they'll be better with Ott and Mateer, but I think their defense will probably carry them too. Texas A&M, same way, although Marcel Reed scares the crap out of me. I think he's a really good quarterback. If Auburn wins 17-14, I'll feel like I did after the Cal game a couple years ago when Auburn went on the road and, you know, won late with fair weather from Thorne.
Disgusting.
But I'll take it because it's a road win, and maybe it's one of those deals where, okay, now they've got 2 weeks to figure that offense out against Ball State and South Alabama. I would probably feel better about the – you know, the way the season would play out if Auburn did get in the 30s. And even if they – now, if Baylor scores 31 on Auburn, I may come out with a little bit of concerns with Auburn defensively, regardless of how good Baylor is offensively. I think if Auburn holds Baylor in the 20s, I feel really, really good about the outlook of the season in Auburn's defense.
But depending on how this game goes, bouncing off of Christian's question and your response here, Daryl, which side of the ball and which coordinators do you have more confidence in to fix it if things go wrong in week one? DJ Durkin on the defense, or Derek Nix, or Ken Austin, or Hugh Freeze, or whichever guy's calling plays? Which side of the ball do you have more confidence in to make adjustments after week one?
Durkin, because he did it last year.
Right.
Remember, they couldn't get off the field on third down. They couldn't, third and long, they couldn't get off the field. They kept making stupid penalties, pass interference, hitting dudes out of bounds, and they figured it out. I mean, The Missouri game is an outlier for me because I felt like Auburn did enough offensively to win that game, and the defense kind of let Auburn down and gave up three late scores for Missouri to win. But after that, I think the defense did its job, starting with Kentucky. We know they did it against Texas A&M. Some other games that they, you know, held pretty tight. So, yeah, I think Durkin is more likely to figure it out and probably won't see the same type of offense again that Baylor's going to run the rest of the year.
We're talking with Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn here on ESPN 106.7. And I think most people agree with you and what we've said that Auburn's the more talented team here. But this is no pushover. There's a reason, and talking about Baylor here, there's a reason this betting line has been moving more than ever, it seems like. Just Auburn's favor, then Baylor's favor, then it's a pick'em, and it's just going back and forth. And so how much have you been able to dive into this Baylor team in detail? And if you have, what is it about that Baylor team that Auburn should be worried about going into this game next week?
Well, they're multidimensional. They have a really good running back. They've got a really good receiver, and they have a really good quarterback. I mean, they have the three-headed monster. Now, their backup running back that went for 600 yards and 8 touchdowns is hurt, and he's out for the year, and that's a blow from a depth standpoint. But I think that, you know, at the skill positions, they've got a dude at each position. They've got an all-Big 12 type running back, all-Big 12 type receiver, and all-Big 12. But, again, they didn't do that against SEC defenses last year. So I want to see that be done. But I think, no, they're not a pushover. And I think this game is a one-score game. And I think this is Auburn's toughest opening game against a non-conference opponent since USC in 2003. And, you know, it's on the road. Now it's a 40,000-seat stadium. I don't know how often they buy their tickets. I will just tell you this. I'm going out there with a coworker who is staying out there, and I got on Game Time last week and found a ticket on the 30-yard line for under $100, and they are far from sold out.
Really?
I would have thought that would have been – yeah, and I'm getting it from a reseller. I get it. But Baylor Ticket Office had them. I only did Game Time because they're a sponsor of Locked On Auburn, but Baylor's ticket office had a lot of tickets available where you could go right to the Baylor website, Baylor Football, and get tickets still. Plenty available, even this morning. So that tells me that either they buy their tickets late or that game's not going to be a sellout because it's a Friday night, and it's what I suspected when they changed it to a Friday night. Some of these dads and Baylor fans are going to watch little Johnny on Friday night play high school football, not going to watch Baylor and Auburn.
Do you think if this was like Texas or Texas A&M, it would be a different story? And in that regard that you just said about high school football, not trying to bash Baylor, but they're not the biggest fan base in Texas, clearly. Like, do you think it would be different if Auburn was going to Austin on a Friday night or Auburn was going to College Station on a Friday night? I think that would be different, don't you?
I do, because they're drawing from a bigger fan base.
Sure.
I think that the alumni, the people that are there, the fans, it's a larger pool to draw from. I just know, as you do, that high school football is absolutely huge in Texas. And you're not going to go as a normal fan and choose to go to a high school football game in your community as opposed to Baylor if you're living in Waco or you're living in surrounding areas. But you are if you have a child playing. I mean, I'm a dad, and there is no way on God's green earth that I would give up watching one of my kids play in a varsity sport to go to a college game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have done it. Now, that's just me, but I think there's a lot of people out there like that. And so if you're talking about a fan base that's kind of smaller and more, you know, kind of in a tighter knit community, that kind of thing, more concentrated. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have to make a choice. And a lot of people that have their kids playing on Friday nights are not going to go to that game. And I think that that's probably hurting attendance a little bit.
Darryl, we mentioned earlier, unfortunately, you're not able to be with us next week on the show, but that's because you're traveling and going to be in Waco and taking care of some things on the business side. Are you willing and ready to give a true prediction yet, or can we at least get some insights on what it will take for Auburn to win and maybe shoot me a text and we'll read it on the show next week? Whatever you're comfortable with.
No, brother, I'm giving it to you right now.
Let's go.
It doesn't have the same effect. So I'm telling you, and I for some reason, I have had this in my head, and I cannot get rid of this score. I think Auburn wins 28-23.
Okay. Is that a 28-23 where Auburn has to score late to win? Is that a to hold on to win?
No,
or
Auburn's
going to
be up 28-16 while I'm eating popcorn in the press box trying to figure out what I'm going to do on the postgame show, and then Baylor's going to score late.
Okay, you heard it
here. But Auburn's still going to cover.
Auburn wins, Auburn covers, because that's what great teams do. You've got Darryl Dappert's 28-23 Auburn going on the road and starting the season 1-0.
And Darryl, rather than the Auburn game, I mean, have we made a prediction for any dinner spots or any food that you are definitely camping out to go ahead and grab while you're in Texas?
Well, the Fort Worth Stockyards are unbelievable. It's the best steaks you'll ever get.
Okay.
They're incredible. And you can fall and bump into steakhouse after steakhouse after steakhouse in the Stockyards area of Fort Worth. So I'm looking forward to going back there. And then Waco's got some of the best Tex-Mex and some of these what they call sailgates, which I've been invited to attend some of these where there's ribs and steak and beef.
Man.
You know, and yeah, I'll be hitting the Waco food is like I'll be in and out same day on Waco, leaving Friday morning, coming back Friday night, but we'll see, you know, as long as I've got a taste tester so no one's trying to poison me over there, we should be good.
Hey, if you need me, I'll tag along with the coattail.
Yeah, Christian does volunteer his tribute.
It's not Little Rye Breads and Mike and Ike's, Jacob, and we'll have to make it work.
I have a feeling you're going to be okay and make it work with steaks and ribs and whatever else they're going to feed you over there in Waco, Texas. Darryl, we always appreciate your time, my man. Always a blast. You're a fan favorite on this program. Tell people how they can find you and everything you got going on, especially since you will be in person for Auburn and Baylor next Friday.
Yeah, Wednesdays and Fridays, Locked on Auburn, Sunday nights on the Barn, cast live at 8 p.m., and then starting next week immediately, I think Zach will do a live show after the football game, and then we'll record a post-game reaction show that drops Sunday morning at 6 a.m., YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast.
Safe travels to Waco, Texas, and back, my friend. We appreciate you as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Darryl Dappert, Double D for Double D Wednesdays, right here on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. I'm jealous. I know several people now that are going out to Waco. When the game got announced and moved to Friday, I didn't know a ton of people are here, even a ton of people, Christian, say, oh, yeah, definitely got to go. I think you, me, and Jack briefly discussed trying to make that trip, but just with work and football and high school football and things, I was like, man, that's almost an impossible trip for us to make, unfortunately. But as we've gotten closer, and it snuck up on us, we're a week and a half away, I know several people that are going to be going to this game now. And I have to say, I have to admit, I'm jealous.
I am as well. I mean, you feel like that's almost how it works more times than not, right? For road games.
Yeah.
Especially when the hype continues to build. When Auburn and Baylor were first released on a Saturday, it was awesome. Then you got the night game, and it was, okay, this is going to be – or I guess there wasn't a schedule. Then it got moved to Friday with the night game.
Yeah.
And immediate reactions were, oh, come on.
Man.
Why would you move us from Saturday? Then all of a sudden hindsight kicks in. And you realize the amount of games on that Saturday to where Friday nights you're basically in your primetime spot on Fox. The entire college football world is going to be able to sit down and see you. And again, as the hype continues to build for what should be a very exciting season for Auburn football, you feel like it gets, okay, we're 2 weeks away. Okay, we're a week and a half. Honey, let's go do something crazy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, let us know. If you're listening and you're going out to Waco, I mean, we have some people that listen to the show in Texas that have already told us they're going to be there. But any Auburn fans that are going, shoot us a text in the text box. We want to hear from you and hear your plans. And then especially when you get back, we want to hear how the trip went, regardless of the result. 334-784-1067 is the text box number. But we'll take our final break here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Come back and wrap it all up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Man, been a great show today. We've had a lot of fun with both of our wonderful guests that we have on Wednesdays, of Jordan Hill with Dogs 247 in hour number one, and then just got off the phone with Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn and The Barn. And we missed him last week. We got him this week, and unfortunately, we are going to have to miss him next week. But that's okay. He's traveling. He's doing important things. We understand, and we are excited to get him on the week after Baylor. We just got basically a full Baylor preview from him. Also, his score prediction, so in case you missed that, check that out in the podcast. But then we'll get him on the week after Baylor as well. So those two guests were with us today, plus we talked about some changes to the college football playoff in terms of how the committee determines their teams and ranks teams and things like that. They took a big step today, so we're really proud of them. And so we talked a lot about that and a whole lot more. If you missed any of the show, you can always go back and check it out at ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. Click on the podcast center and you'll find all of our previous shows there. You can also listen to us live there each and every weekday as well. And so here's what's coming up the rest of the week, folks, because we are quickly approaching the weekend, which is nice. But coming up on tomorrow's show, we get Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, as we're just about a week away from Auburn versus Baylor. We'll talk to him about Tiger Talk this week, plus what he has seen and heard from this Auburn team, and really a deeper dive into Baylor as well, as him and Andy and Jason and the guys are all getting ready for the game against Baylor. So Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us tomorrow. So does Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, get updates from around fall camp, and I'm sure he has good things to say about Auburn too, since the last time we talked to him. And then in between those two guests, we start our weekly series with Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, will join us live at 3 o'clock tomorrow right here on the show to talk about the season opener against the Booker Tornadoes on Friday night. So Coach Keith Etheridge will join us tomorrow live at 3 o'clock. So Thursdays, ramp up. They are extremely busy here on the show, so we're excited for that. And then reminder, on Friday, August 22nd, that's this Friday, 2 days from today, we will be broadcasting live at Winter Timber Outdoors, ESPN 106.7, live on location. It's the brand new hunting and outdoor store, as On the Line and The Drive will be live on location from 2 to 6 p.m. this Friday at Winter Timber Outdoors as they prepare for their grand opening. So we're talking college football, high school football, all the great products inside that store as well. They've got $40,000. And prizes to give away over the weekend throughout some raffles. And so go in there, make a purchase, get in that raffle, and have a chance to win $40,000 in prizes. They're giving away tons of different stuff. So be sure to go and check that out. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to talk to you and visit with you on Friday, this August 22nd, as ESPN 106.7. We're live at Winter Timber Outdoors. So we are out of time on today's show. Flew by, man.
It did.
Flew by. And we're back tomorrow right here with three wonderful guests as we're getting ready for college football, high school football, you name it. We got it right here on ESPN 106.7. So come on back and join us tomorrow, 2 to 4, on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.